Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Forecast is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This episode of Forecast is brought to you by Ford, featuring available Sync with My Ford Touch. Sync with My Ford Touch gets you to your destination with integrated turn-by-turn directions and directional arrows displayed on screen. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/twit.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to Forecast episode 100. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Scott Johnson.
You're not Scott Johnson. What are you doing here?
Oh, my God. I fell over and knocked myself out, and I woke up on this show.
Justin Robert Young filling in. Poor Scott Johnson is in the dentist's office right now. He desperately wishes he was here.
Yes.
His dentist would not let. His dentist actually stayed late and said, no, I have to do this today.
Yeah. And this is actually Utah law. You have a designated podcast buddy, and I was on the list.
Well, I'm happy.
I am here forecasting with you folks tonight.
I'm happy to have you along. Our forecast guest today, joining us from Beer Diplomacy, rock star, wannabe comedian, and geek of all trades, Mr. Stuart Tracht.
Hey, how's it going, Tom? Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for being
welcome,
on. Dude.
Welcome, Justin. Good to have you here as well, man.
Yes, Stewie. I'm very happy to be on here with you.
Yep.
And also joining us, writer and actor, you know him from Riff Tracks and probably MST3K as well, Mr. Bill Corbett.
Hey, guys.
Now, in the video version, Bill may look like a floating head, and that is only because he is.
I am the ghost of me, actually, yes.
We couldn't afford the real Bill Corbett, so we just got the ghostly head of
him. We got his spectral equivalent, folks. Step right up.
That is also Utah law.
Yes.
That's just a stereotype. All right, let's start with a prediction from one of our listeners. Divine Sandwich Maker sent this one in. It's the only name I have for him or her. Says, I have a crazy ass prediction to make. In 137 years, humans will find an Earth-like planet. In another 52 years, we will send a city ship to colonize it. In another 158 years, very precise, we will get a bunch of transmissions from this planet reporting the colonization attempt to be increasingly difficult, culminating in a complete disaster. This will be due to humans overestimating their ability to adapt to an alien ecosystem and not being prepared for black swan events. After several failed robotic missions to terraform the planet, we will send machines to bring entire samples of the planet's ecosystem. We will park these samples of land in self-contained biospheres in Earth's orbit. And finally, gain better understanding of the alien ecosystem, create new genetically modified humans capable of surviving on this new planet. Finally, in 1,129 years, we will have an offshoot of humanity with its own multitude of civilizations living on another planet. Justin?
Wow. Well, you know, listen, this seems reasonable to me. I do want to point out to everybody listening that this crazy butt prediction is referencing black swan events as described by the book by Nassim Nicholas Taleb and not the one where Natalie Portman makes out with Mila Kunis, which might be slightly disappointing.
Oh, see, now that was what I was thinking.
Yeah. Which always, I mean, I'll tell you what. Now, there's a future I can get behind if all of a sudden we're not prepared for them. So
but then
I don't know.
Sarah
I don't know
Lane has to be the body prepared. Double for everyone.
Yes,
she
Sarah
gets
Lane
upset
is
about
really
the credits.
Upset.
Bill,
well,
what do you make of
that? That was an okay prediction, but she could have provided a little detail.
Yeah.
Pretty general.
Do you buy the years? I mean,
I'm not sure I entirely followed the years there. But.
I mean, 158 years.
I was stuck on the Natalie Portman, Mila Kunis factor. Sorry.
As happens to us all. Stuart, were you good?
Yeah,
cool
well,
with
I'm also thinking about Justin getting behind Mila Kunis. But at the same time, the timeline's
with
a little
bit short. With full force, doing.
Yes, with full force. The timeline is a little bit short for me. I'm not sure that I can envision that happening in that time, to say the least.
Yeah, he says 1129 years. I'm saying 1130.
Yeah,
I mean, yes. I mean, and obviously this guy has everything kind of mapped up specifically in his head. The only thing really that I could say about this is I have a hard time believing any future prediction about the human race that doesn't involve us succeeding wildly, because that kind of is sort of our nature, right? We just sort of keep trying to do things and we kind of keep succeeding and therefore we stay on the planet, you know?
You're a nationalist when it comes to humans. You're a human exceptionalist.
I am. I believe that I want us to be the embodiment of species exceptionalism.
Yes. In due respect, though, I like the idea of us taking chunks of a planet and bringing it back to make like human hybrids that would then be able to live on the planet. I think that's actually very smart.
Human thing, huh? To take advantage of other resources and mine them until they're gone. So sure, I'm all for that.
Oh, sure. Bring us down.
Yeah, okay.
That's me. I'm the skeptic.
How many times did you see Avatar?
Yeah, I know. Well, what are you going to have? A bunch of moles running around like, oh, no, I think we should be more fair to everybody. Everybody takes things. That's how we roll.
All right. Well, Divine Sandwich Maker, we do thank you for your predictions. Send us your predictions to forecastpodcast@gmail.com or post them up at our blog, forecastpodcast.com. Let's start with some short-term prediction. These are things you think will happen sooner rather than later, maybe in the next few years. And, Bill, we'll start with you. What is in your short-term crystal ball?
Well, this is something probably, it may be a sort of a backwards prediction in a sense, given what you guys do. But given that Arrested Development is now going to be, distributed through Netflix, it seems like that's the final piece of the online versus sort of standard Hollywood entertainment thing falling down to me. And that's very exciting to me because I'm part of an online, mostly online business right now. So I think that is kind of, in the next couple of years, that distinction will be meaningless pretty much. The sort of the gatekeepers of Hollywood will find, that it's just kind of coming at them from all other angles. And I think it'll make entertainment and content better in general.
So entertainment pretty much moving online.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this, too.
Technologically, I think it's, it's already here. It's just sort of like how it's going to be monetized, to use a word I know we all love. Given that it's sort of already happening and there are a lot of people who want it to happen, I think this, that in the next couple of years it's going to just sort of become a normal thing.
Well, it's funny, Bill, you talk about, things kind of being radically shifted, but I really do think, especially with Netflix, it's not like the studios aren't still getting paid. They're just kind of realizing which pipes they want to go to that they may not have before because the money wasn't as sure as it is now. And really, it might even be the case that the money is so chaotic everywhere that they might as well take these chances on something like this, especially with a property that right now isn't making the money. Arrested Development hasn't brought in a dime aside from random DVD sales for however many years. And now they can just give it to the exact audience that wants it.
Right. Well, that's a fair point. But I think it allows for more audiences wanting things and then being responded to, because there's really not a lot technologically or technically in the way of, small scale shows coming across online and then maybe getting bigger if the demand is there. But I think that die is kind of cast in that direction.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, think about it. 2013, we're going to see new episodes of Arrested Development. A Kevin Spacey led a series called House of Cards, and a couple other high quality originals on Netflix. That is the year Netflix becomes HBO online. Stuart, what do you think of this prediction? Is this the floodgates opening that we've been waiting for?
You know, it's funny. I do think that we're very close to that happening, but I do kind of fear for the small internet producer when that does happen. Guys like myself and others that are creating our own content, we now don't have the budgets to compete with the bigger guys out there. When your big studios start going directly to the web, it doesn't say a lot, once again, for us little fish, so to speak. And yet we're the ones who've kind of led the charge towards this new, consumption of entertainment for the first point on the web. Us twit listeners and all those guys,
But it's not like we were making scripted dramas or you know, half hour, you know, sitcoms. And there have been people who have tried that, but that's not what has by and large succeeded. I mean, that original content is a niche that is still largely unfilled on the internet. So to have this primarily, to have Arrested Development primarily distributed, if nothing else, will be a great boon for the internet because it'll give bloggers new references to make and think they're clever.
Well, I, what do you think, Bill? I mean, is there's still room for the independent producer, for the Felicia Days, for the Riff Traxes, if Netflix starts moving in with these big time productions?
I think it's a fair point. I mean, wherever there's money to be made, the people who tended to have, you know, try to accumulate it all before will do so again. But I my feeling, and maybe it's more of a hope, is that this is a little bit different, that people can find their way to stuff that they like. And it's sort of what, you know, as you said, I'm part of an independent, you know, producer, basically. We don't have anything like, we don't have any big sponsors. And so we're kind of banking on that. But I think as people get used to the idea of TV and online, I mean, I know you guys have been for years, but people like, say, you know, my aging parents just sort of think of it as the same thing.
Right.
Then more people just come to the web and choose what they want instead of, you know, waiting for Two and a Half Men to sort out their latest meltdown.
Yeah, I mean, we see this over and over, right? The older forms that are very popular stick around because they've built up habits with people. So, I mean, you can still buy cassettes at some truck stops.
Yeah.
Because there's still some old trucker out there who's like, I like my cassette player and I'm going to keep using it. So we're going to still see that broadcast for quite a while. Yeah. But it's just, you know, where the pendulum swings as far as how many people are watching it online versus on air. And I think you're right, Bill. I think this is...
To be fair, have you ever tried to listen to Bob Seger on MP3? You just need the warmth of a cassette in an 18-wheeler.
Exactly. You need
Ditto
the warble.
For Merle Haggard.
Right. Sure.
All right, let's move over to you, Stu. Your short-term prediction, something you think will happen maybe in the next few years.
I think in the next few years, the government, the United States, possibly even the world, is going to move everybody towards digital identification. I think everyone's going to be required to carry some sort of ID card that has some sort of scannable chip in it. And that is the way that we're going to be tracked in everything from our financial transactions to our identity walking through airports and things like that. So it's going to seem to us as consumers is a much easier way of doing things, but also is going to kind of give the government a better idea of where we are and what we're doing. Not RFID, but something similar to that.
So not injected. You think we'll have a card?
I think, yeah, you're going to have to carry, where if somebody actually wanted to physically see it, you would show it to them. But there's going to be something on that card that walking through, you know, for example, a geofence or something along those lines, you would trigger and say, oh, Tom Merritt is here. And it would, you know, ideally then a location very much like Bill Gates' house back when he had written his book would change to fit your mood. But a restaurant may change to fit your mood, or a movie theater, or even the taxi that you get into and things like that. I think that is a lot closer than we think.
Why is this restaurant so depressing? Oh, it's me.
Yes. You were a little too happy, Tom. Skipping your step, but we're going to take you down a peg here at Arby's. Well, you know, but Stu, it's curious you'd say that, especially politically, that, I mean, I could understand us opting in. If somebody gave us, they're like, hey, carry around this technology and you can have your customer experience tailored to you. But it's a whole nother thing if it's a political thing, because that's been a major you know, hot button issue, and it kind of has been political poison when anybody's tried to bring up a national ID card. So I guess my question to you would be, do you think that attitude amongst people will change and we will become more amiable to something like that?
Well, the Facebook generation has kind of already led the way towards that. If it can be marketed in a way that it will enhance your life, then yes, people will be very quick to adopt it. I mean, we're all happy sharing our location on our phones and telling everybody what we ate for breakfast and things like that. This is only a natural step to that. And if we can incentivize people with great deals and freebies, then by all means, you know, we'll be able to do that.
Yeah, I do think there's a line between the generation that wants to share everything about their lives and being told you have to share, especially by the man, by the 1%.
That's a good point. still, I do think it's coming. I don't think it's that far away. I think that, you know, when you renew your driver's license next time, there very well might be a chip in there.
Yeah, well, there have been movements towards that already, and things like RFID, but not just RFID. Could be some kind of QR code that just makes it easier to scan. But isn't sharing good? We should just share everything. What do you think about this, Bill?
I think the opt-in, I think the opt-in, opt-out thing is all. You know, I think there's a lot of people, including me, who would welcome some convenient thing to, you know, to get it all done. But yeah, there's a definite minority report feel to it that would scare some people, maybe including me. But if we could have precogs coming along with it, I might be okay.
Can precogs stop you from doing something stupid? Not just stop crimes.
Oh, they can't stop me, brother.
Yes.
They can't stop
me. Hey,
you're
about to wipe that booger under the couch. Knock it off, mister.
Very petty precogs.
Yes, the petty precogs.
Very micromanaging, sort of.
You just left 8% on that check in my mind. Cough up the bills, cheapskate.
You get a hot cup of coffee poured on you by a precog waitress. You were going to stiff me. I knew it. All right, let's take a quick break and thank our sponsor, Ford, featuring Sync with My Ford Touch. Sync is the in-car communications, entertainment, and connectivity system that's voice-activated. So you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. And one of the great features of Sync is Sync Services. It gives you audible turn-by-turn directions where you want to go and then displays directional arrows on the screen. So you're not squinting at a map. It tells you turn right here, turn left here, and then shows you the arrows so you know it's very clear which way you're going. Can search over 40 million businesses, including telephone numbers, business information, and directions. So if you just say, you know what, Ford Sync, I want to go to the nearest grocery store, it'll tell you where it is. And the coolest thing is Send to Sync, a feature which enables you to use Google Maps or MapQuest from your home or office to plan a trip. So you go into Google Maps, you say, I want to go from here to here, and then you save it to your Sync traffic directions and information account, which you can get an app for. The app's available in app stores. It's a free app. And then when you get in to your car, it already has the destination. You don't have to spend time in the car sitting there plugging it in or telling it what to do. You map it out at home. You get an idea of where you're going. You save it to the app. And then Ford Sync knows where to go. Pre-save destinations to your account, too, such as home. So you can just say, Ford Sync, take me home. Takes you home. It can't yet drive. You still have to drive it yourself, but it's almost there. Ford Tech Nav Plus gets traffic updates as well, sent via mobile phone text message, which Ford Sync can read to you. It's all designed to help you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road so you're driving safely, getting where you need to go, avoiding the traffic, getting there on time. You can learn more about this and other technologies by looking at the 2012 Ford Focus, where they have Sync with My Ford Touch, or going to their website, ford.com/technology. We thank them for their support of Forecast. Let's move
Ford
on to
Sync. Play Bob Seger.
I'm sorry, Justin. I don't have a cassette player.
Well, thank you for making that decision. I forgot how inferior that was.
Let's move on to our long-term predictions. Stu, we'll start with you this time. More of the in 100 years sort of thing. What do you got for us?
So I think in 100 years, we're all going to have surrogates. Very much like that crappy Bruce Willis movie that we saw a couple of years ago.
Or in your case, Stewrigates.
Yes, exactly. and mine will be ridiculously good looking. I do believe that we're going to be able to control some sort of real life avatar from the comfort of our own home to do all the stuff that we don't want to do. And in some cases, all the stuff that we're too lazy to do. And this will lead to the downfall of humanity.
Well, it sounded all good. I was all for it until you said the downfall of humanity part.
No. I was imagining this very, you know, idiocracy-like future, which is funny to me, but I probably should have shared that.
I like the idea of a surrogate. I think this is a cool prediction. Is it going to be better than the movie?
I sure hope so. I mean, you know, it'd be cool to do some of those things, like running and jumping off mountains and, you know, having no real care, so to speak, for the body that you're using. I just think people are inherently lazy, and this is a great way to go out and do those things that you're too lazy to do. And humanity, rather technology, seems to look to fill the void to do things that we can't and aren't able to do ourselves, and this is kind of a great extension of that.
Now, let me ask you this, dude. Do you think that involving surrogates would make us more or less likely to continue on the path of upgrading ourselves and using, you know, genetic modifications or whatever to make us our personal beings live longer? Or will we just say, you want to know what? Our, you know, the life expectancy on me is only going to be what it is. But you want to know what? I can pilot a, you know, 18-year-old version of myself until I die.
You know, it's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but I guess when you think about it, there will probably be two factions here, right? You'll have a group of people who really do side with the ability to just stay home and accomplish anything physically they want. And then there will probably be another group of people who believe that humanity needs to grow and strengthen themselves, not just this avatar that we've created. So, yeah, there will definitely be a rift between two sides. And I'm going to take the side of humanity bettering itself.
So not only have you set us up for a cultural war, but you've also picked a side. That's good.
I have.
That's looking down the barrel of the gun, Stewie. I dig it.
Yeah. Thank you for getting ahead of that.
Yeah.
Bill, what side would you pick?
Well, I've never seen, you know, amazingly enough, as somebody who's seen a lot of bad movies, I've never seen Surrogates. Do you get an infinite amount of stand-ins of surrogates, if you will, or do you just get one?
I assume it'd be a monetary thing, right?
Yeah, I would think so. So we're back to the 1% problem again here. You could have like an army of surrogates and just, you know, use them to do crazy death-defying stunts. Or, you know, if not, it would be sort of like the one house or the one car you ever get. And if you mess it up, that's it. And you're stuck with your big blobby self that you've let become like Jabba the Hutt in your house while your surrogate was out living life.
I could totally see it becoming like Cars, where you're just, you know, like embarrassed for your surrogate to go out of the house
because
it's like 12 years old, it's kind of dented.
Yeah.
You know, part of the hair is out. But,
the only thing I remember from the trailers of that movie is that Bruce Willis suddenly had hair. I mean, his surrogate had a nice toupee. So I have a vested interest in that happening.
I think all of it. Well, I can only speak for myself. But
I could just imagine, Bill, you're rolling up to the surrogate dealer and they're like, all right, listen, I know you really like this model, but wait a minute. We'll throw in a free toupee.
Yeah.
That just, you know, I'll tell you what, if that's going to help you leave with this surrogate today, that's what I'm willing to do to make the deal.
Free upgrade to the mop.
Can I have a giant afro, please?
And the dashiki is free.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
All right, let's move over to you, Bill, for your long-term prediction. More of the flying car sort of thing. What do you got for us?
Well, I mean, this is more a socio-political one, and maybe too optimistic. But I'm kind of a short-term pessimist and a long-term optimist. I think in 100 years, the whole idea of liberal and conservative as the two sort of poles of our discussion will just seem like a bad dream ever happen. And the reason I'm saying this is just because I was speaking to my dad a couple of days ago, and he's, you know, he's an old guy. He's very conservative. I tend to be very liberal. He's a Fox News watcher, and we agreed on a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, basically we were talking about it got kicked off by a discussion of the Twins here in Minnesota wanting a new stadium, and similar thing happened where he lives in Columbus, Ohio with the hockey stadium. You know, so I said the phrase, well, it seems like we're always socializing the losses and privatizing the profits here. And it's just like we just thoroughly sort of zeroed in on that and agreed on like, well, that's kind of a bad thing. You know, it's just sort of government as a racket. So my feeling is that even though it seems sort of dire right now politically, and if you go online, it seems like an absolute disaster because you just have people slugging it out and, you know, pissing all over each other. I have a feeling, you know, it'll almost be like an autoimmune thing. The more political bullshit people hear, after a while, it's just going to sort of everybody's going to turn to each. Not everybody's going to turn to each other in one great day, like from heaven. But I think there are more. Like the more generations are coming up, are just sort of getting immunized to this ridiculous two poles we have of, you know, of conservative and liberal, and forgetting that there's a vast sort of smart bunch of stuff in the middle that has worked for a long time that people agree on. And I don't think that's going to be, you know, I'm not trying to be Pollyanna-ish about this. I think there's still a lot to slug out in the middle there. But the idea that there's like 0% taxes is good on one hand and 100% on the other is just going to be a ridiculous sort of joke in 100 years. Almost like the idea of, you know, of keeping humans as chattel is these days. So that's maybe more of a hope than anything, but I think that a lot of the bullshit will fall away, and a lot of it will have to do with the fact that people have been slugging this out for a while, and they'll realize we're having the same argument, and it's kind of gotten us nowhere, and it's time for it to die.
Yeah, well, it's basically side-picking, right? I think that's what you ran into, which was, you know, most people, I think in the world, but definitely in the United States, are moderates. They may lean one way or another because they happen to have a pet issue that one side or the other champions. But generally, people are moderates. But what happens is our elections are polarizing. And so we only end up getting the most extreme candidates because of the way the election system works. And so you have to, and that's why everybody's always like, well, I don't like either side, but I guess I'll go with this because that side usually agrees with me more often. But it's right. But it's all made up. My dad was a Republican because they were the party of anti-slavery. I mean, that was honestly why he was a Republican. And think of that now. I mean, in the current terms, it makes absolutely no sense at all. It doesn't apply. But these things are just picked. They're just teams. They're sports teams.
I agree.
And I loved it in the fall of the Soviet Union. Remember, they always commented on how the right-wing people, meaning the communists, were trying to resist the left-wing people who were the capitalists. But right. That's flip-flopped. Here, when we talk about left and right, we talk about, oh, well, the socialists are on the left and the conservatives are on the right. And that's, you know, it's all just a matter of wanting to oversimplify the debate, right. I think. And so I have a feeling you're right. I guess my question is, liberal and conservative may disappear, but what do they get replaced by?
Well, I guess in my, you know, hope, my prediction that what they get replaced by is a little more multidimensional. And I think there is actually a tool of measuring that you know, you measure it on a whole bunch of different factors. It's not just a line, a continuum from so-called left to so-called right, but you factor in a whole lot of stuff. I think what it'll be replaced by is sort of a tacit agreement that we do agree on a lot of stuff, which is like some combination of capitalism and social services. You could call it socialist if you want to add the heat to that. But in my mind, I think we already kind of agreed on that. And now there's a bunch of drama queens with a lot of self-interest who have, you know, have us duking it out. And I think people get tired of that drama after a while, I hope. And I hope it's because they just do it enough that they'll just feel like, you know, all right, we can't live like we're kids on YouTube comments forever. You know, this is kind of serious. So let's figure it out.
Bill, do you think that part of this is a discussion issue that, you know, the internet and even like something like 24-hour news networks and our instant ability to interact with each other is really not that old? And you could say that we're still kind of in our infancy, sort of realizing that, hey, I can have a political conversation 24 hours a day. No matter what, somebody is willing to either totally agree with me or I can totally disagree with somebody. And that maybe it'll be our maturity as a society that understands that we don't always have to push it to 11 every second of every day.
I think that's extremely well put. Yeah, and I think it's because we have this forum now to do it, it feels very torqued up right now. And I would hope that this is just sort of like the way we get to something better. It's like eventually people will get tired of the constant drama of it all and the tribalness. I mean, there will always be people who want that, but I think enough people will get fed up with it.
Yeah, Stuart, what do you think? Will we mature now that we've, you know, we've only been using the internet in a massive way for a decade? When will we finally start reaching that point where we start to use it more maturely?
This actually does kind of go into my big, big, big prediction.
Okay,
so I'm not
going
to go completely into it, but something will have to happen to unify humanity for this to happen. And until that happens, I personally don't think that can happen. As much as I do wish it does, you know, I wish everybody would just get along and we could talk our problems out and find common goals. But everybody has personal interests, and that's kind of where this system works but doesn't work. in its current incarnation.
We could try the Watchmen solution. The Watchmen.
Oh! You took my joke. I was going to tell him to watch out for the giant squid.
Teleport the giant squid into the center of town, and it'll all work itself out.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. Well, just for the book.
Right. Sure. It's true. It's yeah. true.
All right. Let's move on to crazy ass predictions. These are really far out there forecasts. No timeline. It could be 2,000 years. It could be 10,000 years. It could be tomorrow. Just the craziest prediction you got. And Bill, we'll start with you this time. What is your crazy ass prediction?
Well, I think people are going to live hundreds of years. I mean, I think that's sort of the trend line. And I don't know. I'm not saying exactly when it's going to happen, but there's kind of nothing physically to make that not happen. As people learn what to do about stress on the body and medicine and science and meditation kind of combine, I think that'll happen. George Bernard Shaw, the playwright, he was sort of obsessed with this idea. And he wrote a bunch of plays. They're not good at all. They're very, very long, but they're called Back to Methuselah. And his theory was that people don't live long enough to get smart, basically, by the time they've kind of like gotten through life and they've learned enough to like solve some of our social problems. They're old and enfeebled and they're kind of losing their faculties. So his hope was that people would just live long enough to sort of like learn how to manage crap. I'm not sure that is, you know, going to happen one way or another, but I kind of do think that is the direction it's headed. I mean, if the median average from, say, 50 years ago has just gone up, I'm not saying everybody will right off the bat. In fact, there'll probably be a big divide between, you know, the haves and the have-nots, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, people lived like 300 years come, I don't know, 1,000 years from now.
Yeah, it has become much more common for people to hit age 100.
Yeah.
Just watch any morning network television show. And you can tell. No, I mean, I'm serious.
90% of the content.
It used to be. It used to be just
all love Smuckers too.
But it used to be just like once in a while, and now it's all the time.
Yeah,
somebody's turning 100, and so I think we're on that trend. My fear has always been that they're going to figure out how to prolong life like right after I've had some horrible debilitating injury. That so that I can live forever in a state of semi-conscious misery.
That's a Twilight Zone episode right there.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. The Pandora Star franchise by Peter F. Hamilton, you know, has kind of an element of his universe, but he doesn't spend a whole ton of time with it. The idea that basically we can just rejuvenate, you know, through medical science after X amount of time. So people tend to live in the ranges of, you know, 0 to 40 or 50. And then at that point, you can just rejuve yourself at the age that you kind of want to start at and then sort of grow. So you're always in what you believe is your prime, right, physically. Right. Now, I think that does a lot of really, really, really interesting things with our society. Now, the least of which is that all of a sudden we retain, you know, such a massive knowledge base that I think it radically reshapes what we're capable of, that now we can take another evolutionary step toward progress and innovation.
Yeah, I what do you think, Bill?
Yeah, I mean, that would be the best outcome of it. I guess the worst outcome would be a lot of bitter old farts just living longer.
On the internet. I think you're stupid for voting for Rick Perry's son. You're an idiot.
Right.
What do we do with young people, though? If old people can grow,
do you need to take that?
Indefinitely. We're on a podcast.
No, I do not. Yeah. What do we need to do with young? What do we do with the young at that point? Do we just stop having children?
I don't know. I mean, it might motivate people to stop having. They will feel less like they have to kind of, you know, send their DNA down the line because they'll be around long enough. I don't know. That's a good question.
Yes, yeah, so Chaos Star in the chat room said he's heard talk about scientists thinking that the current 20 to 40 year old generation will live for a couple hundred years, which being 41, wow. I'm like, great. Thanks.
Yeah, you're out.
Right on the
just
right
missed it.
Missed the edge. This is the bust, and I'm running after it. But but I mean, think about that. If the number of people who are between 20 and 40 right now did live for 300 years, we're considering that we're going to peak out population wise at 9 billion sometime later in this century. But that's with a normal increase in life expectancy along the scale we're seeing. If it starts to kind of go logarithmically up, we could finally have that population explosion, that population problem, not because of too many births, but because of not enough deaths.
Hmm. Soylent Green time.
but is it really a problem? I mean, you know, if we want to and we aspire to be a race that spreads across the galaxy, then we need people. We need bodies, you know, and there's overpopulation is only relative to, you know, the setting you want to put it in.
We need Lebensraum.
Yes, we do.
On the moon and on Mars. I think it would push us. In fact, wasn't it Stephen Hawking this weekend that I was reading who said we really need to start investigating living off the planet? Like, it's essential.
Well, you could say it in the voice, Tom.
I don't remember exactly what he said,
you know,
but it was something like that.
I think it's almost required at this point. You have to
if I had the quote, you know I'd be going for it. Stuart, dude, so are you the youngest or is Justin the youngest? I can't.
I'm 35, so.
I am 28.
So
hunker down for 400 years, guys.
You guys?
Yeah. I'm packing snacks already. All the granola I can find.
Stuart, do you want to live that long?
You know, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, if I can keep life the way it is now, life is good. I'm a happy guy. And I love to see the world move by, so to speak. I mean, just in the past 15 years with technology alone, we've seen so much happen. I can imagine that if I was able to live at least 100 years from now, the great and amazing things that I would see. I'd be happy living forever, without a doubt.
Well, go ahead.
Nothing that, if it got to be too much, nothing that, you know, a bullet to the brain wouldn't fix.
keeping the cheer here on Forecast, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. Stu Tracht, you can find him on Twitter.
The most violent possible way to get out of it.
Yeah, although I want to live forever, so how else am I going to tell Stu he's wrong in 300 years? I can, now I can just tell him that, and he'll be like, "No, what do you know?" And then 300 years from now, he'll be like, "I told you so," and I'll be like, "Well, I guess."
Yeah. Well, the problem is always going to be that sort of edge between, you know, doing fine and too old to function well, which we have now. I mean, I think there's always going to be that, no matter how high the upper number gets. There's going to be a couple of people who are sort of between healthy and not so good who are going to be, an issue. I mean, right now it's sort of a healthcare issue, but who knows what else it would be. Overpopulation issue.
It does become a bigger issue as we get better at keeping people alive, right? I mean, in the 1400s, there was never any, you know, living will necessary because you couldn't keep people alive. Now, now we can. And if we can keep them alive, now it's not only like, well, we can keep them alive on a ventilator, but it's sort of we can keep them alive, you know, in a semi autonomous state for 100 years. Is that humane? Should that be allowed? I mean,
anybody with aging parents faces that pretty hard after a while.
Oh yeah, no, we had to make that decision with my dad. Not that decision about hundreds of years of life. Right?
You guys are very advanced there.
We had to decide if my vampire dad should be allowed to. No, we had to make that decision with my dad because he had a stroke. It was that point where he couldn't breathe on his own anymore. You know.
Yeah.
And.
I think there's even a bunch of territory below that where somebody is, you know, sort of lucid,
right.
Can kind of get around with a walk with help, but is just not happy. I mean, at least one old person I know basically was begging, you know, said if I had the nerve, I'd just like do it myself, just like. And that's not where you want anyone to wind up.
Right, exactly. And I guess that's what I'm thinking is we got to the point where we were forced to make a much different decision. But if my dad had kept alive for 100 years in his stroke debilitated state, that just sounds awful.
Yeah.
You know, I tend to think, though, that if we're going to get to the point where we can keep people alive for hundreds of years, we're going to be able to reverse some of the ailments, like being in a stroke debilitated state, that there's steps to get there. And part of those things are fixing what ails us before we're able to prolong, right? A lot of the things like strokes and Alzheimer's do come as our bodies start to deteriorate. So if we're preventing that, we're probably preventing a lot of these things as well as reversing them from happening. Probably wouldn't be in that ethical situation like the one you spoke of, Tom.
Yeah, that's a much more hopeful position. I hope you're right, that things that we don't think of as reversible could easily become reversible. Some things already have. So,
mm-hmm. Well, but also think of it as 100 more years where people could just parade you around like Bernie in that movie.
But Bernie was actually dead, wasn't he?
Well, I mean, then he got enchanted by the voodoo curse, and he was dancing around. So who knows? Maybe we should look into that.
We should, but yeah.
The future is voodoo Bernie.
Yeah.
Voodoo Bernie.
That's great.
Vote for me. I promise voodoo Bernie.
All right, let's move to you, Stu. We still need your crazy-ass prediction, which you've alluded to already. What do you got
for us? It's a little bit cliched, but the part that I take out of it is quite hopeful. So I do think at some point, as a species, we're going to have to band together. And I do believe that at some point, some extraterrestrial force will come to our planet and threaten our existence. And in order to do that, we're going to have to come together as people. That, you know, if you're discriminating against people because of their religion, well, guess what? You're probably going to wind up getting burned by these aliens and various other different simple and what now seem huge, but at that time when faced with extinction are quite petty, will kind of lead us in a direction where, you know, and it's once again very cliched, but we will unify and rise up and defeat these alien interlopers and, you know, be one happy, happy human race.
Somebody called Jeff Goldblum. Tell him to dust off that neck.
I really do kind of believe that. And it's negative and positive at the same time, that it will take something catastrophic for humanity to all get along and put aside all of the issues that we have with one another. I know we're keeping it lighthearted here, but living here in New York, for example, and feeling the togetherness that everyone from every color, creed, race, et cetera, had immediately after, you know, 9/11 and the year or two afterwards was really heartwarming in a way. And unfortunately, it does take these huge catastrophic things to show people that we're all in the same boat. You know, it's one big, big boat.
Well, Stu, you know, and we Bill made reference to The Watchmen, and not without going into too many spoilers, but it does deal with these themes in very, very specific ways. And as one of the characters makes the point toward the end that maybe even if we, let's say, are temporarily united in something, that is the nature of humanity to gather and scatter. And that, you know, if we are united in fighting the aliens, then 50 years down the road, we're still going to be fighting over tracts of land and where borders lay. Do you think that there's ever a point where we turn a corner and aren't fighting over little things, no matter how big and pressing the imminent danger is?
You know, I'd like to think so. I mean, that's a very Federation of Planets type type view. But, yeah. I don't know. I mean, the side of me that's grounded in reality by all means says no. And those of you who have heard me speak before on topics like this, I'm quite the skeptic. But I'd like to think that, that in the face of death, we all work together to make a change, and it sticks.
There's sort of a pattern for that throughout history, right? Where we have very small tribes that are hold together against just dangers of all kinds. Then those tribes band together in nations and kingdoms against other nations and kingdoms. And then we get the super states that we have today to band together against other super states. And so it seems like we kind of need an external force if we wanted to band the entire human population together against something else to get
this
bring
is
them
this is all ultimately leading to Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum taking a floppy disk somewhere, isn't it?
It is.
Thank goodness that we know the floppy disk will continue to be compatible with all alien technology.
I would just like to see that movie where Jeff Goldblum's like what the What's a Wi-Fi password? Right. Oh, man. This is, well, who knows what it is on this alien ship? I wonder if it's high human.
This alien ship is weapon encrypted. This will be easy.
Yes. Right.
Maybe we need a light reimagining of Independence Day.
Yes.
I would love to see if Independence Day got remade once every 5 years, I would be there every single time. I would love to see that movie just remade constantly over and over and over again.
Bill, do you think if we had an extraterrestrial threat that humanity would bind together against it? Or do you think our squabbling would like ruin us and we wouldn't be able to do it?
Well, I guess my short answer is if they were lizards, yes.
We would bind.
I don't know. I mean, on some level, we do. You know, we have something like that kind of theoretically looming here with climate change.
Yeah.
So we'll see, won't we?
Yeah. I mean, the difference with spaceships in the sky, it's harder to deny that it exists.
That's true.
Whereas the climate controversy, there's legitimate scientific debate about when and how much and all of that. And then there's, of course, people who don't understand science saying that there is no evidence, even though there absolutely is. And
although, you know, if Manhattan winds up under 4 feet of water one summer, then, you know, that debate will be over.
No, it's just an opportunity for waterfront condominiums in Jersey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As everybody has always wanted.
Exactly. All right. Before we get to four questions, let's take a quick break and thank our other sponsor, Netflix, streaming thousands of TV shows directly to you instantly, saving you time, money, and hassle. Easy ways to instantly access shows at netflix.com/twit. You'll get a free 30-day trial. So if you don't already have Netflix, go sign up. Try it out for 30 days. No obligation. If you do have Netflix, though, and you want to pass the word along, tell people about the URL. Anybody can use it. netflix.com/twit, a 30-day free trial, and you can watch Alien Trespass streaming right now and prepare for the future. Check it out, netflix.com/twit. We thank them for their support of Forecast. Time now for four questions. This is the segment where each of our guests face four rapid-fire questions about the future. We ask them to not stop and think too much about them, just answer with whatever comes to mind. And Justin, you will be asking Stu his questions.
Yes, I will. Stuart, what will happen first? A Jets Super Bowl victory or a balanced budget from the federal government?
Wow.
Oh, wow. Shoot. I would say the odds of either of them happening is very unlikely, but I'm going to go with the Jets Super Bowl victory.
Correct answer is no. Stu, if we could produce lab-grown meat that was 15% more expensive than slaughtered meat, would you eat exclusively that?
No, I don't mind eating slaughtered meat. In fact, I prefer my meat slaughtered.
In 5 years, do we have more democracies on Earth or less?
That would be fewer, Justin.
I'm going to say more. I believe we will have more on Earth.
More democracies.
Oh, yes, without a doubt.
Constitutional monarchy democracies?
Well, right. Is it a democracy if it was imposed on someone is the better question, right?
I didn't vote for this democracy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Who are you voting for president in 2036?
2036? Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Yeah, sadly, probably.
Also Canadian.
Oh, yeah, so we have to change the law, and it's Schwarzenegger versus Bieber.
Schwarzenegger. Yep. Schwarzenegger's actually a T-1000 or T-800.
Turns out that was a documentary.
There you go.
All right, those are your four questions. Thank you, Stu. We turn to you, Mr. Corbett. Are you sitting comfortably?
I will lie down.
Good, good. Then we will begin. Question number one.
Yes.
Which Santa Claus of the future will be the real Santa? The one versus the Martians, the one from Futurama, or some other Santa?
Oh, the one versus the Martians, by all means. I always think of Santa as sort of a semi-bumbling incompetent. He really didn't have a clue what was going on there. So I think as much as we like Santa, I always like him with a touch of dementia.
I am most pleased by the fact that you were immediately like, well, of course there will be a Santa in the future.
Yeah. I never questioned the premise there.
Question number two. Will human meat, a.k.a. long pig, eventually become an acceptable dish? And if so, how?
I'm guessing it already is in some quarters. But how it would become acceptable is if they fail in that experiment with synthetic meat, then we're going to start looking at each other hungrily.
Okay, so I was wondering if synthetic human meat would be like off limits, but you're saying it's because we lose the synthetic meat.
Synthetic human meat would seem to defeat the purpose.
Yeah.
Unless you really want to eat your neighbor, but you don't want to be called a cannibal in the letters to the editor section.
Now I've got a whole sideline of designer fake human meat.
Yeah, like, and could you tool it to like a specific person? Like, I want to eat Hugh Grant. Could you make me a Hugh Grant steak?
Exactly. Oh,
I'm sorry, Hugh Grant's going for $50 a pound today.
That's a little dear. I'll take the Nicolas Cage.
Of course.
I'll have Mila Kunis, rare.
Right.
Yeah, can I have a rack of Lohan, please?
No, sadly you can't.
Everybody can, actually.
We only have thin steaks.
Very popular dish.
Very, very trimly cut steaks. Question number three. How long before we get off this rock?
5 years.
5 years, really?
Yeah. I don't know what you mean by that, though. I tried to honor the knee-jerk answer thing, but
I'm sitting on a rock. How long before I finally get up? No,
it was simpler than I imagined.
I guess what I mean is how long before we could viably leave the planet. And I guess regularly.
We have done that, Tom.
Yeah, I know. But just sort of like it becomes a regular thing where we can move and live somewhere else.
The shuttles, yeah. 50 to 70 years.
50 to 70, okay.
Yeah.
But you think
I'll be a spry man of 140 or whatever.
Yeah. But you think in 5 years we'll be leaving the planet again to visit somewhere.
I would like to think so, but I actually, that is not related to reality at all.
Yeah, I guess not. And final question, number four. When will Congress finally pass a law outlawing these super committees and their vigilante justice?
Super committee. When they pass the Lex Luthor committee bill.
Yes.
To oppose them.
When the Lex Luthor committee is elected president.
I would feel a lot better about the super committee if Batman was on it. I don't know if I'm the only one, but
Batman
I just kind of
part
feel
of the
like,
1%, though. You got to be careful there.
Tell you what, I'll submit to the will of Bruce Wayne.
1%. I will need Senator Martian Manhunter myself.
1% of the Batman has 99% of the gadgets.
Yeah.
I do think that the reason the super committee failed is because they just couldn't remain super friends.
No.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, because there was no purple monkey.
Yeah.
There you go.
They could not activate Wonder Twins. There you go. That is your four questions. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
And thank you all for being on the show. This was great. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your visions of the future with us. Stuart, Tracked, let folks know not only about Beer Diplomacy, but all the stuff you do online.
So Beer Diplomacy is a weekly show about politics, but from a slightly off-kilter point of view. Normally, we like to have people like yourself, Tom, and Justin. I think both of you guys have been on the show. We talk mostly with people in tech and social media and just get a different view of what's going on in the world. We talk about politics and social issues, but like I said, tech people talking about politics and social issues. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter at Stu. I'm your friendly skeptic. Check me out. I'm always having fun and promoting fun and cool stuff.
Twitter ID is STWO. If you're on the audio podcast, you want to look it up. Bill Corbett, a pleasure to have you on as well. Thank you for taking
the
time.
Thanks, Tom. This was a blast.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. We definitely enjoyed having you. And let folks know where they can find Riff Tracks and anything else you're working on.
Rifftrax.com, RIFFTRAX.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Bill Corbett. I like to keep it simple.
I like your Twitter feed. It's one of my favorites.
Thanks so much.
I have to say. That's where I got my super committee question from. And Justin Robert Johnson, Scott Robert Justin.
Yes.
Thank you for filling in.
It is I.
No, I really, Scott was so sad when I talked to him on the phone this morning. He could not figure out any way out of this dentist appointment. And I called up Justin, and without a hesitation, he was like, absolutely, I'll jump in.
Well, it is, thank you for having me on and just being a pale shadow of an imitation of the brilliance that is Scott F. Dog Johnson. So
I think Scott's more pale than you.
No, he probably is. He probably is. I do have this robust olive Floridian tan. So, thank you for having me on, Tom. And I do want to remember that if you like listening to me and Tom talk to each other, you can download FSL Tonight at FSLTonight.com. And if you like me and hate Tom, you can download NSFW Show right here on the Twitter.
Yeah, NSFW Show is actually the anti-me.
Yes, okay. We have a stated constitution that calls for the eradication of all merits.
Don't forget to leave comments at our website, forecastpodcast.com, or send us an email to forecastpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks to all of you for listening or watching. We'll see you next time.
It's only 32 years away.
And that's the show.
Thanks, Ba-boo. Guys.
Thanks,
Thank
Bill.
Thank you. Congratulations on 100.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
I mean, I think I saw a couple people saying it. This is really 99.5. You got to wait for Scotty to do the 100.
Scott on Twitter: dentist complete. I will never eat anything remotely gooey again. I mean
it. Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Yipes.
Well, wish him a speedy recovery.
Yeah, absolutely will. Thanks again, Ben.
See you guys. Bye.